Our scripture lesson this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Are you ever overwhelmed by a scripture passage? You look at it, it's not hard to understand. It doesn't take a scholar to get what it's saying, but it's like, whoa. As he who has called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. I don't know about you, but if I was to describe myself, being holy would be a dream. Well, more like a fantasy. But it definitely wouldn't be an adjective that I would ascribe to myself. Yet to the instruction to the recipients of the letter is crystal clear, and hence that letter is now addressed to us is crystal clear. In case you didn't get it. As he who has called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. To me, the call to be holy is a pretty tall order. The call to be holy is a tall order, but I don't know if it's good news or bad news. It's not impossible. It is not impossible to be holy in all of our conduct, though it is a challenge. It calls us to be intentional in that pursuit. Now, one of the main reasons the call to be holy seems daunting to me is that when I read this passage, I get the picture that just flashes immediately into my mind that I'm called to be virtually a walking stained glass window. I have to look in the mirror more than once a day. I go with me everywhere I go. That's not me. I know me too well. I am not even going to stand up here before you and even try to pretend that I approach that. Now, we may know that the walking stained glass window is an unrealistic view of our call to be holy, but the call to be holy is attainable, even though it's a challenge. Now, it might just be me, but much of my early experience with the Christian faith centered around the things that I was to avoid. Now, to be sure, if we are holy, we're different from society at large. Our motivations, our purpose for our actions, or what we avoid are different from society at large. But so much of my early exposure to the Christian faith, and really perhaps the first third of my life, What are the things that a good Christian boy will not do? And any of us that come out of those backgrounds find it easy to consider holy living as being those things, those evils that we avoid. But I like how one commentator on this passage stated the issue. They said, quote, "It is not enough to leave behind the blandishments of the old life. The readers are positively to embrace the possibility of the new. Be holy in all you do," end quote. Perhaps you've seen some of the commercials for an identity protection company. My favorite is the guy in the dental chair. You may know what I'm talking about. He's laid back in the dental chair and they've got all that stuff around his mouth, you know, that they do before they get ready to do a major procedure. And this guy in a white coat with assistant looking over his shoulder looks at his mouth and he says, "Mr. So-and-so, you have the worst cavity I have ever seen in my life." And then he prepares to leave. And then the patient mumbles through all of this apparatus on his mouth, "Aren't you going to fix it?" To which the guy says, "Oh no, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental monitor. I only let you know that something is wrong." Unfortunately, that is the limited view of the Christian life for far too many. Jesus monitors our thoughts. Jesus monitors our words. Jesus monitors our actions and lets us know when we have done wrong. To hear some well-meaning preachers, now remember I said well-meaning. Please have mercy on us. You know, when we get up here, we mean well. Sometimes it doesn't come out right, but we mean well. But to hear some well-meaning preachers, it would sound like that our main job is to take a list of all of the sins going on in the world, to be the sin monitor, and then get up here on Sunday morning and expound upon all of the evils in the world. Now, I'm not making light of sin. I'm not making light of immorality. But according to Peter, knowing and avoiding the wrong is only part of the equation. Peter says in verse 14, "Do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance." It's pretty plain. As Christians, there are words, actions, and attitudes we avoid as they are not fitting to one who claims the name of Jesus. But then Peter continues, instead of therefore, we have instead. "Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct." It's not do I do good or do I avoid evil, it's both and. If a person or object is holy, it is so because it's been set apart for the work of God. Do not most of us consider this room in which we are in right now as holy? Isn't there something different when we step into this room than when we step into the fellowship hall? Some of the tales that are told in the fellowship hall will not be told in here. They're saved for in there. Remember, I told y'all the difference between a tale and a lie. A lie, you expect somebody to believe your untruth. A tale, you know nobody's going to believe it anyway. So the tales that are told over there don't get told in here. In other words, this room is holy. And it's holy not because of what it's made of. Any of the materials in this that went to construct this room can be found in any other room anywhere else, even some places where some bad things take place. This room is not magic. But this room is holy. Why is it holy? Because this room that is made out of everyday materials that your house or anything else is made out of has been set apart for the worship of Almighty God. That's what makes it holy. Its purpose makes it holy. I remember, just as a real quick thing on making the differences, I don't remember the name of it, but I went to a restaurant one time, and it was kind of a weird feeling, but it was an old church sanctuary. The church had had to close. They sold out. It had eventually become a restaurant. And where pews and pulpits used to be, there were tables and chairs and people were eating. It was no longer holy. Not that restaurants are bad. It was just no longer holy. The same room that had once been holy was now an everyday restaurant. This room is holy because of the purpose it's been set aside for. As persons that have recognized and received the love and grace of Jesus Christ, we are set apart from society. Not that we live in a different place, but we are set apart because God has for us a far greater and different purpose. We are called to personify Jesus Christ. We are called to personify Jesus Christ in the words we say, in the thoughts we think, in the actions we do. We are called to fulfill the work of Christ in our community and thus the Lord. Thus, holy living is an intentional effort of enabling the light to shine brighter in the world as opposed to merely pointing out the darkness. If you don't remember anything else, because I know I'm doing a lot of talking, write that down in your mind or remember that point. Holy living is not just pointing out the darkness. We know there's a bunch of junk in the world. We know that there's a lot of darkness in the world. Matter of fact, just watch Fox this afternoon or CNN when you go home. Any talking head can point out the darkness. We are called that the light might shine brighter, and we do that intentionally. So holy living is an intentional effort to enable the light to shine brighter. Now you've let that digest. Now I want you to either write this one down or write it in your mind. Now remember, when I say you, I'm talking to all of us. I'm not separating myself. I'm talking to all of us. Just sometimes I say you. Much of our struggle to be holy lies not so much in the ability to be holy as it does in our desire to be holy. I'm going to repeat that one. Much of our struggle to be holy lies not so much in the ability to be holy as it does in our desire to be holy. Remember, to be holy is to be set apart from God, for God. When this was first said in Leviticus, the nation of Israel was being set apart to be different from the pagan nations around them. When we Christians are set apart for God, we are different from society at large. Still, much of our struggle to be holy is that we want to be in a positive relationship with Christ while holding on to some sins. Now, maybe none of y'all do that. Maybe some of your associates outside of this church do that, but just in case. But folks do want to be in a positive relationship with Jesus Christ, but hold on to some sins. Now, some of those sins are actions, and some of those sins are attitudes. You have any attitudes that you know are not Christ-like, but you really don't want to let go of it? It's the way I was raised. Lynn Sullivan of Tupelo, Mississippi writes about how in the late 1920s his grandparents got married and moved into his grandpa's old family farmhouse. It was a clapboard house with a hall down the middle. So in the late 30s, they decided to tear down the old house and build another one. But much to his grandmother's dismay, many of the materials from the old house were recycled into the new house. They used old facings, old doors, and other pieces of lumber. Everywhere his grandmother looked, she saw old doors that wouldn't shut properly, crown molding that was split and riddled with nail holes and unfinished window trimmings. He writes, it was a source of grief to his grandmother. All her life she had longed for a new house. Now all she had was a recycled one. Is it possible that that's what we try to do as human beings living in the concrete world, trying to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ? We really don't want to be holy. We don't want to be set apart. We don't want to be that different. We want to be recycled. We want to have all of the things that we feel like are attractive in the world, but make sure our ticket to heaven remains valid. Is it possible that the call to be holy is daunting, not so much because you don't feel you can, rather, to be totally honest, you don't want to? Remember, when I say you, I mean we. It's not like we want to do anything particularly heathen. It's not like we want to do anything outlandish. But when you compare some of your conversation or entertainment or attitudes with Christ, you know it doesn't measure up. Nobody has to tell you. But you really don't want to give it up either. So you want to recycle. I really don't want to let go of that, but I want my stamp to heaven to be okay, so I try to recycle them and somehow bring them together. Perhaps there is something you feel God is calling you to do, but you really had rather not give up the time it takes. I got to tell this one on time. I hope I don't go over this morning. When I went to Kairos, I'd known for years I was called to it. And then he tells me, okay, well, if you do it, there's 6 weeks of training beforehand. All right, I'll do it. I really want to go. We're in the prison. I'm thinking, okay, I've gone through all of the training. We're now in the prison. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I know God's called me to do it. And after we do these 4 days, I'll take a deep breath until the next one. And then Tom comes up to me at the table where I'm sitting. He says, can you help me out next Saturday? I said, next Saturday? Yeah, after we have the weekend, we have a follow-up with them the next Saturday to try to firm up what we go over with them these 4 days. You didn't tell me that before I got into this. Yeah, I'll be there next Saturday. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we have these little monthly reunions with them the first Saturday of every month. I thought I'd just go to the training and 4 days, and then I'd have 6 months off, and then we'd do it again. No. But the Lord's called me to it, and I'm glad I do it. And I can't say I look forward to the training sessions, but I look forward to the monthly reunions and the weekends. But the point is, I knew God was calling me to do it, but it's taken more time than what I had bargained for originally. Is God calling you to something, but you really don't want to put in the time or the effort or the money it may take? Do you desire to be holy? Do you desire to be like Jesus? I read something the other day that I feel like can't be paraphrased, that I need to quote. So the writer said this, quote, "People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlinessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated." End quote. If any of us lives a holy life, it's because we do so on purpose, by the strength of the Holy Spirit. We may ask, well, what does a holy life look like, John? Well, it's real simple, but it's not real easy. A holy life looks like Jesus. It's as simple as that. Now, doing that is not easy, but it's that simple. A holy life looks like Jesus. Therefore, if we want to live a holy life, it's not a complicated thought that only a few could understand. It's not elusive that only a few can understand. It's real simple. Read the four Gospels, look at Jesus, you see a holy life. A Pharisee asked Jesus one time, you know, after he had silenced the Sadducees, "What's the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else hangs on those two things." So let us intentionally strive to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, so that we will be holy in all of our conduct. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, it is a tall order, but it's attainable. But only through the strength of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I just pray for all of us in this room, wherever we are in our faith journey, that you will draw us all closer to holiness, that we'd all look more like Jesus, that we all would love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, so that we might live a holy life. In your light, shine brightly through us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Our altar.